Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on the Premiere Networks Saturday, January 5th, 2019. This is episode 1554. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by WordPress. Turn your dreams into reality and launch your website at WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month, and you can get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/TechGuy. And by Carbonite, the premier data protection platform for business with customizable cloud and hybrid backups for your servers. To learn more, visit Carbonite.com. Well, hello there. Happy New Year to you. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. It's Tech Guy 2019 edition. Time to talk about technology, computers, the internet, home theater. I give you this long laundry list to give you some idea, but it's really not limited to that. You know, digital photography and, of course, the number one technology we all use these days, smartphones. We could talk about the lesser used smartwatches, augmented and virtual reality, self-driving cars, anything with a chip in it. 888-ASK-LEO is my phone number. 888-827-5536. We're getting ready for CES. This is a notable day for me because it was January 4th, I think. January 4th, 2004, I began doing the Tech Guy show 15 years ago. That's a long time to do anything. Especially a radio show. 15 years I've been blessed. Thank you to be able to do this. And I thank you because, honestly, if you didn't listen to the show, it wouldn't be here very long. So happy birthday to me. 15 years, the Tech Guy show. And it's interesting to, as I sometimes talk about, watch how things have changed. I actually started doing computer talk radio. It wasn't called the Tech Guy, but I started doing it with a guy named John C. Dvorak in 92. So 27 years. And there's been a, fairly significant change over the years in what technology means. When I started doing it, it was Windows 3.0, I think. Not even 3.1. I think it was 3.0 and DOS 3.3. And there was no internet to speak of. I mean, we'd heard of such a thing, but nobody had access to it in 92. That's all changed quite a bit. And I think the biggest change, probably, societally, I think we'd all agree, is the advent of very powerful, always connected computers in our pockets. Smartphones. That's changed everything, hasn't it? You can look up any information you want at any time. And in seconds, find out anything from how old, Michael Douglas is to what's the meaning of the word Chautauqua, that kind of thing. You just, boom, there's no mysteries. I was talking to a friend, my trainer, my personal trainer. He helps me keep from getting too much of a blob. About, he's all into his ancestry stuff now, genealogy. And even 10 years ago, if you were into genealogy, it meant some travel. You had to go to the Mormon archives in Salt Lake City. You might have to go to Ellis Island to look at the books there. You might, there's considerable library work involved. These days, everything you want is there online. It's not free in most cases. In fact, it's kind of stunning how much some of these sites, especially Ancestry.com, they charge a lot, don't they? But if you think about the amount of money you're saving in travel and time, it's pretty remarkable. These things work pretty well. So there's just these things, then they creep up on you. And yet, over 15 years or 27 years, there's been this is kind of dramatic. And big societal changes, I think, from these smartphones, because now the debate has come. And I think this is going to be the year where we really start talking about screen time and what it's doing to us, not just to our kids, but you and me, what's doing to a society in general, how it's how it's impacting us. Because, you know, I think we're going to get a little personal backlash. I think people are going to start to step away from the social media. I think, I may be wrong, step away from the social media, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Snapchat. Step away from the screen. Wouldn't it be an interesting world if we all kind of looked up from our screens and started looking and talking to each other? Community is, I think, has to be in person, ultimately. I know there's some amazing online communities, so maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like they're lacking something because they're not real. They're not personal. That's why I was looking up the word Chautauqua. People, I think, in New England might remember the name Chautauqua. It was, according to Wikipedia, an adult education movement in the United States, highly popular in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Chautauqua assemblies expanded and spread throughout rural America until the mid-1920s. The Chautauqua, C-H-A-U-T-A-U-Q-U-A, I think it's an Indian word, American Indian word, brought entertainment and culture for the whole community with speakers, teachers, musicians, entertainers, preachers, and specialists of the day. Former U.S. President Teddy Roosevelt said that Chautauqua is the most American thing in America. Now, it passed away in the mid-20s. Can you think of what happened in the mid-20s that might have ended Chautauqua? Radio. All of those things. Education, entertainment, speakers, teachers, musicians, preachers were all brought into your home by technology. There was no need to gather under a tent to do all of this. And maybe we didn't lose anything. I don't know. Here I am working in radio for 20, well, more than that. I started, I want to think about it, 43 years ago doing this. But and I do think that this show is kind of like a Chautauqua. We talk, right? You can call and we have a conversation like a, I mean, I'm not in the same room, but that's close. You can listen to the conversation, kind of be a part of it. We even, one of the ways that I kind of encouraged that a little bit more using technology was we have a chat room where people, you know, are talking in the background. And I'm watching the chat room all the time. And the chat room is another way people kind of participate in this Chautauqua of the airwaves. I want to bring the Chautauqua back. And maybe it's digital. I think it'd be kind of nice if it were in the real world, but maybe it's digital. But the idea of looking up from the screen, maybe you can, I don't know, can you have a, I guess a chat room is a screen, right? You can have a Chautauqua in the chat room. I think this works. Talk radio works because it's multimedia. You can hear voices. You can't see them, but you can hear voices. We actually do a video stream if you want to watch. We have a chat room going. I think a lot of people in the chat room are watching the video stream and chatting. So, yeah, that's a screen. But at the same time, you're kind of a little bit, even if you haven't left the house, you're kind of a little bit more engaged with a group of real people talking about real things in sentences of longer than 140 characters. I don't know. I kind of like what we're doing here. And I'm very grateful to you for the opportunity to do it. And I think this is going to be the year of the Chautauqua. Not just on the Tech Guy show, but in general. I think people might start looking up from the screens and start interacting with each other. I think maybe we've come so far down this line that now we're now ready to kind of take a step back. It was cool. It was wonderful. It was highly addictive. Maybe take a step back and to use the cliche, stop and smell the roses. See the people around you and talk with them. I don't know. What do you think? 8888 Ask Leo. See, we can talk about it. We can have a conversation. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, it's still toll free, but you have to use Skype or, you know, something like that to call. And if you call that number, 1-888-827-5536, it'll have the same results. Let's Chautauqua with each other. Let's open the lines and take some calls right after this. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. I got a late Christmas card. I opened it up this past weekend.
Okay.
From friends.
Okay.
And it had glitter in it.
Oh, so it made a mess.
And there is tiny little bits of glitter all over.
So it looks like you got a stripper in your house.
Yeah. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. It was a Christmas card. Yeah, this glitter, you can't get rid of it. There was a good article this holiday period in the New York Times about glitter and the manufacture of glitter. Which
it's
is
a mess.
It's mostly made in New Jersey, and it's a secret, top secret. It's a aluminized mylar in most cases that they chop up in different sizes. There's different colors, but it all just gets everywhere, and especially the fine glitter. And this is a very fine glitter. So, folks, just a note for next year: no more glitter Christmas cards because it falls off. It's in the envelope. Then you open it up, and it all spews everywhere.
I always feel bad for the cleanup workers at any concert where they just shoot that stuff all over the place.
Oh, I always think, we're empathetic people. I think about that when I see that. Yeah, they explode the guns with the tissue paper and stuff. It's like, come on.
But
somebody's got to clean that up.
I'm the same person who gets irritated that people leave their popcorn stuff at the movies. It's like the trash can's right there. Just put it away.
Oh,
take responsibility.
You and I are both that way.
Yeah, I don't know. Take your own personal responsibility. There's my rant for 2019.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's your contribution to our Chautauqua for today.
And that reminds me of Cheektowaga.
Cheektowaga. We get calls from Cheektowaga.
Yeah, Cheektowaga. Yeah. My dad's from Buffalo. So.
We get calls from funny name places all the time. So, speaking of which.
We're going to go to a non-funny name. Lori in Burbank. She's wondering if she can retrieve files that were deleted on her iPhone.
The perennial question.
All depends on how you had your iPhone set up, isn't it?
Perennial question. Yeah, it's for everybody. Everybody's always wondering. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And hello to Lori in Burbank. Hello, Lori. Leo Laporte, the
tech
guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy 2019.
Oh, boy. Yes. Okay, so let's get to the question. I have my father's iPhone 5 that he had a hidden camera in his house. And it had an app where he could record his caregivers and different people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, unfortunately, he passed away. The people that were there deleted the files. Well, my brother recovered them. However, not all of them. So we see some things on there that are not too good. I would like to know if I can take the phone in to a place that does data recovery and retrieve the actual
So here's a couple of avenues to think about. Most of these cameras are tied to a website, and the phone isn't the only location of those videos. So what was the brand of the camera? Do you remember?
I don't know. It was one of those hidden. I know the app, but I don't. The brand of the camera, I don't know. But I have the chip that was in the camera.
What's the name of the app?
Oh, I don't have this phone with me. Best cam or something?
Doesn't matter. But the first thing to do is to kind of investigate whether that camera was... Some cameras, send it right to the phone and there's no other copy of it. But that's unusual. Almost always, they send it somewhere else. You say you had the chip that was in the camera. They're probably saved there for sure.
Yeah, but it was written over. The actual day he passed away was overwritten. So I don't know if it is.
Wow, do you think the caregivers did that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely they did it.
Because they didn't want you to know what they were up to.
Exactly.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, the chip will be easier to recover than the iPhone.
Oh.
So the chip absolutely is recoverable.
Okay.
Overwritten or erased? That's the question. If it's overwritten, it's hard to recover it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the deleted files my brother actually recovered. He's an IT guy.
So he got those from the chip.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he says there's others that might be on the phone. The first thing I'd investigate is whether that camera uploads to the internet. If so, then the account that camera was attached to should have access to that. So that'd be the first thing I'd look at. A lot of these, like a Nest camera, they save those online, and you can access them online as well as on your phone. So that's the first thing. The second thing is an iPhone is a lot more difficult to get data from. You sounds like you have the passcode though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I do.
So you can unlock it. That's a good start because when it's locked, it's encrypted, and then I would say you can't get it, and then the FBI is known to be frustrated by that. So The good news is you can unlock it. So did they erase it on the phone too or no?
Yes, they did. They erased it off the phone, and then they deleted the pictures and the phone calls and the messages on the day that he passed away, but they were too stupid to delete the deleted files.
Yeah.
So we got the deleted.
So they'll all be there. Yeah, it is. I'm not sure how hard that is to get that data, but I would bet you that somebody who has some forensic capability, what they'll probably have is a machine made by a company called in Israel called Cellbrite that can take the data off of the phone. And what you need is, you're right, deleting a file on an iPhone or any computer doesn't delete the data. It just makes the file available for overwriting. So you don't, that's why overwriting is the real bugaboo, because it's still there until something writes on top of it. So
yeah.
I would then say it'd be worth, have you talked to the police about this? Because they probably have tools to do that.
Yeah, they actually told us to seek an attorney.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing now. Well, there's a company in Glendale that does data recovery, and they said it's kind of hard to do on an iPhone.
It is hard. It requires some special equipment. But that equipment is made. In fact, the reason I mentioned the police, law enforcement typically has it.
Maybe I'll bring it to the Burbank police.
Yeah, just ask them if there's a way you can recover this. I'm concerned about elder abuse, and I think there might be evidence of elder abuse on here, and I wonder if you can help me recover my late father's data. And so those are three avenues. The chip that was in the camera, the site that the camera uploads to, as it may or may not do. Some do, some don't. Most cameras don't just save it to a chip or just send it to a phone. They put it in the cloud somewhere or on a local DVR somewhere. There's some other source. So I'd investigate that. And then finally, forensically.
Oh, you mean they have their own cloud?
Yes.
Not my dad's cloud.
Not your dad's cloud. The camera company.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well, check. I mean, I can't guarantee that, but that's certainly something to check. And then there are forensic ways to get the data off of phones, especially older iPhones, particularly if you have the unlock code. That's the thing the FBI wanted from Apple, remember, was the unlock. They said, we can get the data if you just unlock it for us. And Apple said, no, we won't unlock it. You're in a good position because you have the unlock. And you're right. They didn't, and there's no way built into the iPhone. They didn't erase the data completely. They just made it, they erased the files. That means the data's still there.
You're clear.
Thank you, sir. Our show today brought to you by WordPress. So is my blog. So is so many things in the world today. In fact, I love this stat, and it's going up all the time. Last time we mentioned it, it was 32% of all the internet. All the internet. Not just blogs, not just websites. All the internet runs on WordPress. It's now 33%. I can now officially say WordPress runs 1/3 of the internet. That's awesome. I am a WordPress.com fanatic. I've been on WordPress.com for 12 years. That's almost as long as I've been blogging. It's almost as long as blogs have been around. But it's not just for blogs. It's a great blog site, but it's, when I say blog, I mean a personal site like mine, LeoLaporte.com. But it's also great for businesses. And really, if you're a business and you don't have a website, you need one. I went to a restaurant the other day, just opened in the area. They had a Yelp page. They had a Twitter account, a Facebook account. Could I go to their website? No, because they didn't have one. It's the first thing you should make, not the Facebook page, the website. Everybody, even individuals, should have a website. That's the place you own when you upload videos and audio and text and pictures. It's yours. They stay there. WordPress guards them carefully, and you can get them at any time. Download them from WordPress.com. They're always safe. WordPress gives you all these great templates so you can make a site look exactly like yours, not some cookie cutter. They have all the features you want. No 2-week trials, no hidden fees. You control your content forever. And really, that's why WordPress was created by Matt Mullenweg all those years ago. I've been a fan ever since. It's built to grow with you, to get you where you want to be tomorrow with a great customer support team. WordPress experts who are standing by to help you 24 hours a day, including weekends. And I should point out, this is not some rinky-dink amateur hour thing. some of the biggest publications in the world use WordPress, WordPress.com for their content. It's powerful. It scales. It's great. Some of the biggest companies on the earth use it to build their websites. And millions of people, of course, use WordPress.com every day to turn their dreams into reality. It's a simple, easy thing to do. Just go to WordPress.com. You can get a domain name there that's attached to your name so people can find you, like LeoLaporte.com. And right now, 15% off any new plan purchase if you go to WordPress.com/TechGuy. That lets them know you heard it on the Tech Guy podcast. WordPress.com/TechGuy. 15% off your new web page or site. I'm a huge fan. If you've been looking for somewhere to plant your flag on the web, this is the one. WordPress.com/TechGuy. Stop giving Mark Zuckerberg all your best stuff. Jack Dorsey at Twitter. Stop. Put it on WordPress.com where you own it. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
You're not at CES yet.
No, I leave tomorrow.
Oh, man. Is that what you want to talk about today, though?
Yeah.
All right.
Scott sent you an email.
Scott sent me an email. How dare he? With a picture.
It's good.
Let's find her. Oh, that's 2004.
It is.
Wow.
I think you told me that was one of your very first radio shows.
It was
you
one of the first CEO, Tech Guy shows.
From CES.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. I forgot. Yeah, you were my first guest.
That's right.
Holy cow.
That's right. It was amazing. I was walking down the hall. And you were walking the other way, and I stuck my hand out and introduced myself and told you who I was. And you said, hey, I'm doing a radio show from here. You want to be on?
Wow.
And that was the start of all of this.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, 15 years later, I had forgotten about this. Scott Wilkinson sent me a picture of me and Scott on one of the very first Tech Guys shows. This is January 2004. Yeah, the first show I was looking on the web, and we have audio of the first show. I should play it at some point. Was January 3rd, 2004. And I think we went to CES the next weekend. So this would have been January 10th, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
15 years ago. What was the big story? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I see I have an analog mixer. That's changed. Yeah. And, oh, my, look at that. I'm using a Franklin planner to keep track of things. That's changed. Yeah. I've got an analog quartz wristwatch. And believe it or not, if you zoom in on this picture, you can see the phone I'm using. It's so unphone-like, you might not immediately recognize that is a Nokia phone with the dial on it that was round. That was a wild looking phone. So
yeah,
we've come a long way,
man. 15 years.
What was the dominant TV technology back then?
Oh, well, it had to be HD.
HD was just coming in.
And I think OLED was, you know, a glimmer in some designer's eye.
We did have plasma, I remember.
We had
pricey.
Plasma. That was,
yeah.
Yes, but it, I mean, when the plasma first came out, it, you know, a 42-incher was like 10 grand.
Yeah.
And now plasma doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh, my, have the mighty have fallen.
Indeed. We did have LCD TVs, and we still have those. And now, of course, we have OLED.
Yeah. One thing that is still around, not a lot of things are around from 15 years ago.
Yeah.
My Franklin planner bit the dust, so did that Nokia phone and the analog wristwatch and even that analog mixer. But one thing that's still around is CES.
That's right.
You're going.
I'm heading out tomorrow, man.
So tell us about what CES. What is that?
Well, CES is the Consumer Electronics Show. Although they don't actually call it that anymore. They don't want you to call it that. They just want you to call it CES. But that's what it is. It's the Consumer Electronics Show. It's just CES. It's the convention in Vegas every January, right after New Year's, at which all the manufacturers of consumer electronics show their latest stuff. And it's not open to the public, I should say. So anybody who thinks they might want to go, you have to be in the industry to get in. And if you live in Vegas, this is a good time to take a vacation, I think. A lot of locals leave because the city is full of 180,000 people.
Yikes.
Who come in for the show.
Yikes.
Every hotel room is booked. You know, cab lines are an hour long. I mean, it's madness.
Yeah.
But it's the place to go see, you know, all the latest stuff. I read recently an article that said something like, who knew that CES would become a car show? There's so much automotive stuff going on.
Isn't
there
that
with
interesting?
Autonomous driving.
Wow.
And all that kind of stuff. But I go for the TVs, of course.
Yes.
You know me. I'm a home theater geek. So
yes.
I go for the TVs. And this year, we are going to see 8K in a big way.
8K. Now that, holy
8K.
Cow.
I know. That refers to the resolution on your screen. And right now, we're in the 4K era. And we've only been in the 4K era for a few years. No more than five, if that. And now we're going to start seeing 8K.
Wow.
Samsung has already introduced and started selling an 8K TV. And we're going to see ones from LG, more from Samsung. I'm sure we'll see some from Sony. So, you know, it's inevitable.
Nobody should buy a 4K TV today, though, right? Or
well, you can't not buy it.
I mean, an 8K. I meant to say 8K.
Yeah, 8K. 8K. Yeah,
4K,
yeah.
You want 4K.
Yeah,
you want 4K HDR, and you, as you say, you'd be hard-pressed to find something that's not.
That's right. Only the very lowest-end TVs are not 4K nowadays.
Yeah.
But 8K, yeah, unless you're a super early adopter and you've got money to burn.
Right.
You know, because these 8K displays are going to be expensive. LG has basically announced all their stuff ahead of time. Usually they keep it close to the vest until their press conference. But this year, they've announced just about everything, and they're going to have an 88-inch OLED 8K TV.
That's one thing that's taken some of the fun out of CES is it's not as much of a surprise as it used to be, right?
Well,
or is there
still
some oddball stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, sure. There's still going to be some oddball stuff. And some companies do keep it close to the vest. I had to sign several non-disclosure agreements to, you know, to get the skinny before the show. And, of course, I'll let you know all about that next week.
Oh, you sneaky boy. Well, so, okay, I know you can't say everything, but is there something you're particularly going to be looking for?
Well,
besides the stuff you've agreed not to say anything about?
Yeah, well, I think it's safe to say and legal to say that HDMI 2.1 is finally going to be here in products. The current HDMI standard that we have now is 2.0.
Okay.
And so 2.1 was announced a couple of years ago, and it has several pieces to it, and the biggest one is an increased bit rate. So currently, HDMI 2.0, the bit rate, maximum bit rate is 18 gigabits per second.
Mm-hmm.
2.1, the maximum bit rate is 48. So that will allow 8K, how about that, at up to, I think, 60 frames per second, or 4K at 120 frames per second. So we're going to get much faster frame rates. Now, we can debate all you like whether or not that's a good thing or not. Many people will say it's not for movies.
Hmm.
But for video and sports and stuff like that, I think it's a really good thing. And there are other things, too, like variable frame rate. Gamers kind of have this now, but it's going to soon be available in TVs. Very low latency. There's a lot of interesting things about HDMI 2.1. And we heard about it, as I said, a couple of years ago, and we haven't seen any products. And people have been going, when am I going to get, should I wait for HDMI 2.1 in a TV? Well, we're going to see TVs with it, at least from LG, if not from other companies. So that is coming down the pike. That's going to be pretty exciting.
Do you need a new cable as well as
for HDMI 2.1?
Yeah.
To take advantage of all the features that it offers? Yes.
Oh, my.
However, it's fully backward compatible, so it will work with existing cables. You just won't get necessarily all of the new features that HDMI 2.1 offers.
Hmm.
So I'm glad that they made it fully backward compatible. That's really important.
Yeah.
But you might not, you know, the existing cables won't necessarily be able to convey 48 gigabits per second. Wow. That's the main thing.
Well, get the pedometer ready. I know you walk many, many miles on the show floors in Las Vegas, you and the 180,000 other people. You're fighting your elbow your way through. I'm not going to go this year. I felt bad about it, though, and I think I might go next year just because I think I should go every 5 years. That's when you see a big change, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Incremental change. Very well. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater geek, joins us each and every week. Next week, he'll be a little foot sore, but he'll have all the latest from CES. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. All righty. Let's give you the con here. Let me just make my switches. Switch my switchers.
Docs Harrington has a good point in here. Are we getting to the point where a human eye can't tell a difference in resolution? And the answer is yes, we are. On the other hand, there are studies, and I need to dig deeper into these, that indicate that even though theoretically the human visual system can only discern a certain level of detail or resolution below which it doesn't make any difference, there are some studies that indicate that there are certain aspects of things that you can, that there's some sensory mechanism at work, and I don't really know what it is, that 8K really can be distinguished from 4K.
That's what they say about music too, right? Oh, there's more emotion in the higher resolution. You can't hear it, but there's something ineffable about it.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
I have.
Who is
have,
they?
Yeah, that's the question.
Who are they?
Who is they? Yeah. Exactly.
The television makers of the United States.
Right.
No, there's nobody in that group.
I am going to a press conference of the 8K Alliance.
Oh, there is that'll be fun.
A group of companies that are joining the 8K Alliance. So that'll be very interesting.
I think it's reasonable to think that maybe you can't see the individual dots.
Right.
But it's more, but the overall impact of it is more accurate somehow.
Exactly. It has a more three-dimensional look.
Yeah.
Is what I've heard a lot of people say. And I've seen it myself. And that as opposed to actual 3D, which is now pretty dead.
Right.
Except in the movies, except in commercial cinema. There, you're still getting a lot of 3D at IMAX. And Real D is still going strong in commercial cinema, but TVs, it came and it went.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah. Notice they didn't even bother to try to do virtual reality TV. They just skipped that entirely.
I am interested. There's a whole VR section in the South.
Well, 8K will benefit VR because
big time.
Yeah. In fact, 4K really was jump-started by VR.
And even that, it's 4K total. It's less than that per eye.
Right.
And even a 4K headset, I can easily see the pictures.
Oh, yeah, because you're right up next to it.
You're right. It's like an inch away from it. Yeah. But, for example, I'm looking forward to visiting a booth from a company called Pimax. Have you heard of them?
No.
PIMAX.
No. Mm-mm.
An 8K VR headset.
Good. That's report back on that. I'm curious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's right now VR has become a niche, I think.
It
where
has.
There's some people who love it and just are crazy about it and then there's people like me who just don't get it and don't really understand the value
and,
or the
and look at this. I don't know if you saw this news item. IMAX has had a number of VR experience locations. There's one in LA, there's one in New York, there's one in a few places. You go there and you can choose one of a dozen different experiences and put on the VR gear. They've decided to close.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
We should talk. Maybe we'll do it next. Well, next week will be CES. But about this new Netflix build your own movie thing they're doing. I don't know much about that.
I've seen it, but I haven't really read much about it.
Well, good. We have a couple of weeks because you're going to be busy next week.
I'll learn more about it so that I can talk about it.
I haven't watched it yet. What's it called?
I've forgotten.
I want to say Bandersnatch, but it's not that.
It's not that.
It's a Black Mirror episode. We'll talk. Right. You'll be here at the top?
Yep.
All right. We'll We'll talk then. Back to the phones we go. Line one, Chip, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hello, Chip.
Hello, Leo.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, I got a question for texting. I'm trying to find out the principle behind it. I've been texting contests for radio stations. This is the weird thing. For the iHeart station, I have no problem using Google Voice because I don't have, like, free texting.
Yeah.
So I use Google Voice. Now, if I use text to iHeartRadio, no problem. And I had no problem with Intercom. I had no problem with Cumulus until this month. I don't get a bounce back anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find out what...
Technically, text messaging uses a service called SMS, Simple Message Service, that goes through... It's not a data service. It's not, you know, data is like browsing the web, getting email. It's a service that sits on top of your voice, your analog voice phone service. So it's a very old-fashioned short message service. It's a very old-fashioned system. And I think in most cases it's going to be replaced by data. Google Voice is data-based. That's the whole idea of Google Voice. We don't have to even use... the, you know, plain old telephone service, unless you want to call somebody with a plain old phone, and then they have a gateway. So they use a gateway to do pseudo SMS messaging. It sounds like some of the receivers, and I don't think it's the actual companies or the radio stations doing this. It's the service that they subscribe to for their SMS messaging. Because obviously, you don't have a DJ sitting there looking at his phone going, oh, let's see, I just got 1,000 SMS messages. Let's see which one. It's a much more complicated service. It's another gateway, in other words, from the SMS phone system into a data system. And I think that that's probably what's going on, is whatever service provider they're using doesn't support the Google Voice gateway. I've seen this before. There are sometimes when you try to use SMS for two-factor authentication, banks and so forth, Google Voice will not be seen as a real SMS provider. So there's not a whole lot you can do about that, except not use Google Voice, use your phone on those, you know, with Cumulus or whoever, or just, you know, not play the contest with those people. But, you know, you can call them and say, please support Google Voice, but they don't really, I bet you anything, know anything about why it's not working. You know, it's just so they use some service and the service doesn't do it.
Oh, okay.
If you could get somebody technically literate at the station, usually that's the chief engineer, and say, hey, dude, he already knows, I guarantee you. Dude, your SMS gateway's not working with, this is the sentence, your SMS gateway's not working with Google Voice. He'll know why, and he can decide whether he wants to pursue it or not. You know, I would guess almost certainly that means changing your provider, which they're not going to do. This will all go away in time because all SMS is going to be data. So this applies to everyone in another respect. So when you use your cell phone's SMS, remember they used to charge you money for that, like 20 cents a message? It was wildly expensive, given the amount of data you were sending. And in some countries, we went here in the United States to unlimited, you know, flat fee SMS messaging. So nobody's really aware of the cost of a message anymore. But in many countries like Brazil and India, they still charge message units for text messages. And it's so prohibitively expensive that data-based apps like in Brazil, WhatsApp, have taken over. WhatsApp is that messaging app. You've probably seen it. The kids use it. You know, it's owned by Facebook. They bought it for an ungodly amount of money. I think it ended up being more than $20 billion. That's how important it was to Facebook. That's used widely around the world. In Japan, they use something called Line. In China, they use something called WeChat because it's data. And so it, you know, accounts against your data allocation on your cell phone as opposed to your SMS allocation. And in most cases, almost every case, that's a lot cheaper because these messages are short. They're 100, I think it's 160 characters. So 160 bytes of data is cheap. And in fact, it's ridiculous to charge 20 cents for a SMS message. But all of that's going away. Even the carriers themselves aren't really using the SMS phone system anymore. They're using other systems. So if you're using Google Voice or other systems that go to SMS, WhatsApp has an SMS capability. Apple's Messages also has a SMS capability. Messages is an interesting hybrid. With Apple, it'll use data if it's going iPhone to iPhone, but if it's going to an Android device, it won't. It'll use SMS. It'll use the phone system. And again, that's because Apple, somewhere deep within the bowels of Apple computers, they have a SMS gateway. The data, you know, it looks at the phone and says, oh, I can't send this to data. We're going to have to use SMS. Grumble, grumble, grumble. SMS is rapidly being replaced by database services because almost all the phone companies now are doing that. So that's why not much you can do about it. But I'm glad you called and asked. Now you got to get a hold of the chief engineer. Line two, Sergio, Miami, Florida. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Sergio.
Hey, Leo, how you doing? Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, I'm glad you called. Thanks for listening.
Hey, I have a quick question. I'm a big fan of Android, and I'm a big fan of Android Auto. I drive around a lot all day.
Nice. You like it?
I love it.
Okay.
So back in April last year, I got a Nissan Altima 2018. I had the Note 8. And it was working just fine.
Yeah.
November 1st, I got the Pixel 3. I think it was November, like middle November.
Great phone. And it's from Google. So Android Auto should be perfect on that.
Should be perfect until December 5th when they pushed the new update.
Oh, no. They broke it?
They broke it. But it's funny because it works on my wife's Volkswagen Jetta.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So it's really probably Nissan that broke it. They did do updates to, they're constantly doing updates to Android Auto, but I think that December 5th update was a significant update, as I remember, in terms of look and feel and which apps you can use. There were some big improvements. It sounds like, and this happens all the time when you've got systems from two different companies that have to interoperate, there's something about the way Nissan has implemented Android Auto that made it incompatible with the update. Now, I'm almost certain Nissan or Google or both will fix this. It's only been a month, right? Because that's not a good thing to you know, break it for some hundreds of thousands of users. Mike B. is saying the December 5th update broke his heads-up display on his Honda Accord as well. So it's other companies, and this happens, you know, and you just have to – there's not much you can do about it except hope that Nissan or Google will do something about it. It may not have happened to your Note 9 yet, only because the Note 9 is still on the November update.
So, yeah, it hasn't gotten the Pi update.
Yeah, as soon as it gets Pi, boom, it'll break too. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, you're inconvenienced. And I'm sorry, and just you got to – we're at the mercy of these guys, unfortunately. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
You're clear.
Thank you, sir. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I give you 8 minutes and 40 seconds of Scott Wilkinson. Enjoy.
Thank you so much, Leo. Yes, I appreciate that. Hey, everybody. Nice to see you all. Let's see. Colonel asked me about my clock in the background, which I guess, yeah, you can see. It's over here. It's called the Tix clock. And he asked if it was binary, and it is not, actually. The one above it, the one sitting on top of it, is semi-binary.
You have two clocks you can't read.
That's right. Twisted Mister said that he has a clock in his office. It's a regular analog clock, but it runs backwards. Three is on the left side of the clock. That's my kind of clock. I prefer digital clocks, to tell you the truth, over analog. But that I would put in my room. That's pretty cool. It runs backwards, drives people crazy, and I love that. Tim Elliott asked if LCD TVs still exist without LED lighting, and the answer is I don't think so. I don't know of any. Before LEDs, LCD TVs had fluorescent lights as their backlight, and they were little tubes like in offices, except smaller, much smaller. And there were these rows of fluorescent tubes behind the screen, and that's how you got your backlight. Nowadays, they're all LEDs, either on the edges or in a full array behind the screen. And the full array behind the screen is much better than having them along the edge in every case, in my opinion. And so Vizio made a really good decision several years ago to make all their TVs with full array backlighting, with another feature called local dimming, in which basically the array of LEDs behind the screen are divided into smaller zones. And each of those zones can be brightened or dimmed independently. So if you have an image on the screen of outer space with a bright sun in one corner, then the zone behind that sun can be brightened and the zones behind outer space can be dimmed, and it can really improve the perceived contrast. Now, it's important to know that the more zones, the better. And as you get less and less, as the price tag of a TV gets less and less, if it's full array local dimming or FALD, then there are going to be fewer zones. Those zones are going to be bigger. And so if you have a small thing, a small bright thing in an otherwise dark image, the darkness around that small bright thing will probably be brighter than the other areas of the image that are also dark, because that whole zone has to brighten up. Therefore, having more zones is better. Now, I can't really tell you this until next week, but Hisense has a very interesting solution to this problem, and I will tell you about it next week. let's see. Oh, Mike Heiss is in the chat room. How you doing, Mike? Actually, Samsung is holding their what's called their first look Sunday evening in Vegas before press day on Monday. Well, Sunday is press day too. It has events like CES Unveiled, which I've never been to in all the 28 years now that I've been going to CES. But it's a bunch of companies that sort of show their stuff. There are several of those types of events. There's one called Showstoppers, and there's one called Digital Experience. And so I'm not going to that, but Samsung's doing their first look Sunday night. So I'm driving out. Mike's flying out. Good for him. I always drive out because it's not that far from LA. It's only, you know, like 250 miles, something like that. Now, depending on how rainy it is, if it's pouring down rain, as some people have said in the past, you know, I might wait till Monday, but I hope that's not the case. I hear the heaviest rain in LA is going to be tonight. So hopefully it will disperse by tomorrow and I'll be able to drive really without too much problem. Let's see. MacBookie is asking, would you recommend a Samsung 8K TV? My response to him was, well, not unless you're an avid early adopter. And I was almost going to say rabid early adopter because there's no 8K content. As I think Twisted Mister or somebody said earlier in the chat room, 8K TVs depend entirely on their upscaler, on the video processing, in order to produce an 8K picture, because there's no 8K content. There just isn't. Well, there's a bit on YouTube, a bit. And I think the 2020 Olympics are going to be broadcast in 8K, but I think only in Japan. Now, in Japan, there is 8K content. They've actually started a satellite channel with 8K content. So if you live in Japan, then yes, it might be worth getting an 8K TV because you actually have 8K content. Now, otherwise, if you live in the U.S. or Europe or somewhere else, you're not going to get any 8K content except a little bit of demo material on YouTube, which means everything's going to get upscaled. So I'm not in a big hurry to get an 8K TV, to tell you the truth. 4K is perfectly fine for me. I enjoy it very much. I watch Ultra HD Blu-rays. I am meeting with the Blu-ray Disc Association at CES, and I'm certainly going to ask them, you know, if there are any plans to implement 8K on UHD Blu-rays. I tend to doubt it, to tell you the truth, because that's four times as many pixels. which means four times the data of 4K. So that's going to tax even the mighty capacity of Ultra HD Blu-ray. Scooter X says, bring snow chains. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that. The pass, the Halloran Pass, just before you get to the Nevada state line, is at over 4,000 feet. So I don't have any chains. So I'm hoping that they're going to keep the road open. Otherwise, I'm going to be really stuck. Mick had a bad experience with a 42-inch Hisense TV. The picture went blocky and wonky, and the audio went wonky, and I dumped it for a larger Samsung. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Was it outside the warranty period? I presume so, which is really unfortunate. UJ asked, do I plan to look at LG's new UST projector and their new soundbars with Meridian Audio? Yes, absolutely. The new UST projector. I just finished writing the review on AVS Forum of the Hisense UST projector that I looked at originally up in the Twit Studios. And it's expensive at 10 grand with its own, comes with a screen. The LG, at least the one that's out now, is much less, like $3,000.
Yeah.
So
maybe I should make a little swap before I buy.
You might want to. Now you have to buy a separate screen with the LG.
It doesn't include the screen.
The screen. Exactly.
Scott, have a wonderful time at CES. I'll talk to you in seven days with your hurt feet.
That's right.
Have fun.
Thanks, Leo. You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, remote PC.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Yeah, tech guy time. The first show for 2019. Hello, everybody. Time to talk about computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, you know, everything with a chip in it. Phone number, if you would like to call, is 8888-ASK-LEO. There's a website associated with the show. It's free. There's no sign up. You just can go there if you hear something and you want to know more. We put it all on the website, techguylabs.com, including audio and video of past shows. I think there's a gap for some reason in the audio of the, but I have the first Tech Guy show, January 5th, 2004, 15 years ago. And I'm not going to play it for you. But, I could play a little. I wonder. Let's see. I wonder what it sounds. Well, I should listen to it before I play it, shouldn't I? But you can listen. It's at the website, techguylabs.com, episode 1, January 3rd. That's it, January 3rd, 2004. So a little more than 15 years ago. What's the topic of the day this week? Probably all the hand-wringing over Apple. I was a little shocked on Wednesday. Somebody in the chat room, by the way, great chat room. If you want to join that, irc.twit.tv. Go right in through the web if you want, irc.twit.tv. Somebody in the chat room said, Apple shares are on hold. They've stopped trading on the market. What? And the reason was an advisory message from Tim Cook. Unprecedented. Last time Apple's downgraded their results, their predicted results, was 2002. So it's been a long time. Apple said, our revenue is going to be down by some billions of dollars, from $5 to $8 billion, below our predictions. And he blamed China. I think pundits have since said, it's not just China. He blamed China, saying the trade war with China, the strong dollar compared to the currencies around the world, and a weakening economy in China mean that we aren't selling as many phones as we thought. And, so we're going to, I mean, that's a big deal to say we're going to be making maybe $8 billion less than we said we would. In years past, Apple's traditionally been quite the sandbagger. You know, every publicly held company will give earnings prediction. You know, they'll say, well, we expect next quarter we're going to make $54 billion in revenue. We think that's what we're going to make. And of course, they don't have to be right, although the market will punish them if they're wrong. Apple's traditionally sandbagged it, always given lower numbers, then come in higher, and that always has been good for the stock market. It's a little fun little game. You'd think that the stock market would wise up to, but apparently they never did. Last couple of quarters, they've been a little more on the dot, or at least attempted to. But this is a big deal for them to come out with an advisory saying, you know, when our quarterly results come out, which they will in a few weeks, it ain't going to be all rosy as we thought it is or thought it would be. Now, the hand-wringing is really over the long-term future of Apple. It was only in August that Apple was a trillion-dollar company. For the last couple of years, the most valuable company in the world. They are now number four, oh my, on that list. And they've lost a significant amount of market cap. You know, their stock market, I think, went down. Their stock price went down, I think, 10%, something like that. So it was a big deal, this revised guidance that Tim Cook sent out to investors. They now say they're only going to have revenue. Now, see, this is the thing. When you hear these numbers, you might say, well, this is not a company in trouble. Only going to have revenue of $84 billion. Oh, okay. Instead of 92. We told you 92. It's only going to be 84. Our margin, the profit margin, is only going to be 38%. Aw. Tax rate's only going to be 16.5%. 16. How much do you pay in taxes? I know I pay more than almost triple that in my tax rate. Sick, but this is welcome to America. 16.5%. Revenue will be lower. It's China's fault, except it's more than China's fault. He also noted, and if you read between the lines, I think you'll agree, that people are upgrading their phones. He said the battery replacement program. Remember, Apple offered a $29 battery replacement for older iPhones because they'd been slowing phones down as they got older, intentionally slowing phones down. When they got caught doing that, they said, oh, all right, well, here's what we'll do. We'll give you $29 battery replacements. Apparently, a lot of people took them up on it because he even mentions that that's one of the reasons they sold fewer iPhones. But you have to think the real reason is that iPhones have gotten over $1,000 without a massive improvement, right? Do you think Face ID is like such a huge improvement over Touch ID that you've got to run out and get an iPhone 10 or an iPhone 10S? I think the market's telling them no. My mom did the $29 upgrade to her iPhone 6. She calls it literally her beloved iPhone 6. She likes the headphone jack. That's gone, so she can't upgrade there. And she's perfectly happy with the iPhone 6. It does everything she wants. She likes the size. Now with the new battery, everything's fine. The real problem has been brewing for a while because really iPhone sales were flat last quarter. They've been tapering off. Apple had hoped that the Chinese market, this giant billion consumer market, would change its fortunes. And it didn't. Now they're saying, well, we're going to make it up in services. This will be interesting. This will be... Services for Apple includes $9 billion that they get from Google every year for using Google as the search engine and Safari on the iPhone. You know, okay. I guess it's revenue, but okay. Apple Music, Apple Pay, iCloud, those are all the services. Is that going to make up for falling iPhone sales? I don't know. I'm not an investor. I'm not giving you stock advice. I intentionally don't buy tech stocks. I buy mutual funds, index funds like the S&P 500 that probably include tech stocks in them, but I don't know and I don't care. And it's a big enough basket that it's not influencing my opinion one way or the other. And I do that on purpose because I don't want to have a dog in this hunt. And I don't. So I'm not giving you stock advice. But the real problem has been obvious for a while. Apple has been living on the iPhone for 10 years. It's all the iPhone. And once iPhone phones sales flatten out and tumble, as they will inevitably, because they're expensive. Nobody needs another $1,000 phone every 2 years or even every 1 year or every 3 years. Then Apple doesn't have something else, doesn't have the next thing. It's been trying self-driving cars, artificial intelligence. Where are those AR glasses they were talking about? They've been trying, but they don't have anything to replace the iPhone. So this was inevitable. It's been coming for a while. What's really also interesting is how quick the world was to praise Apple as the most valuable company, the first $1 trillion company in the world back in August. We've seen this arc. And now it can't wait. The press just can't wait to trash Apple. It's the plot line behind every bio of a rock band, right? They were on top of the world and they started taking drugs or started drinking or something went wrong and then they tumbled, but then they came back again. The plucky little, see, we haven't gotten to that part of the story yet. Or maybe we have. Maybe we're on the past that even with Apple, because Apple almost did go out of business in the 90s. So maybe they've already had their to the moon, to the depths, back again, the plucky little Apple under Steve Jobs. Now what? It's almost like one of those electrocardiogram machines. It's almost flatline now. If you look at the graph for iPhone sales, not moving. 8888 Ask Leo. I use an iPhone. I think a lot of people listening to the show, I know more than half use iPhones. Even though there's some great Android choices out there. I want Apple to do well. We need Apple to do well. We need the competition, if nothing else, right? 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. We could talk about Apple. We could talk about self-driving vehicles, Tesla. There's a story, huh? Anything you want to talk about. Let's put something. Oh, you want to hear the first tech guy? Let me see here. I have it right here.
KFI. AM 640.
Well, good afternoon. Hello, and how are you? I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy, the new tech guy on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk. Oh, man, am I excited to be here. This is cool. This is cool. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're saying, wait, what's going on?
I know, by NASDAQ.
Well, there have been a few changes at the station, and as always happens, you know, in this business. But I am so excited to be here. I know Jeff well. I've been on the show many times, and I think he's a great guy.
The late Jeff Levy, who I replaced.
Somewhere else. And, wow, I'm thrilled to be here in his place. So if you're just saying, wait a minute, this is strange, just give me a little time. Give me a little time. You know, I know it's a new voice, new style, new thing. We'll see how it works out. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I've done this once or twice before. Let me do a little calculation. Yeah, 27 years in radio. Ooh, I must be ancient. I started very young. Oh, as a child. A child. Did a little TV. For the last 6 years, I've been hosting shows on Tech TV.
I was still on Tech TV when we were doing this.
Cable network. Kind of, I guess, like the Food Network for geeks, basically. And I'm the king geek, which is pretty cool. I host a show called Call for Help, which is on at noon and repeated then some other times in the schedule, I think 9 a.m. And Neighbors, which is on at 4 p.m. and then repeated at 9 p.m. Tech TV, you may have seen it. It's on Dish Network, Channel 191. It's on DirecTV, Channel 354. It's on many cable systems, probably in the higher-end digital. On a lot of systems around here. I don't, you know, there's no individual channel. You just have to check your channel guide, figure out where we are. I hope some of you have seen that show. If you haven't, well, I guess that's by way of introduction. You can read more about, you know, my multifarious...
I guess the tape is wearing out here.
...on the website. If you go to KFI640.com and click the Leo Laporte.
Bill Handel.
Thank you for the call, Jess.
Thank you.
Take care. Hope to hear from you more.
I don't think it's that different. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Christy, Toms River, New Jersey. Leo Laporte, thanks for calling.
For having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for hanging on.
No problem. So my parents have a 7-year-old HP all-in-one PC.
Okay.
That, obviously after maybe even 8 years, but obviously it's getting slow. You know, things are starting to happen. What I'm going to try to do is download Neverware to put Chrome OS on it and see if that works. If that works, that's great.
That'd be a good use for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All they use is Chrome, literally.
Yeah.
So my thing is, I told my parents, if that doesn't work for whatever reason, you know, they have to be prepared to make a decision as to what they want to do next. I don't want to get them Windows. They literally only use Chrome. But my thing is, they want their 21-inch screen.
Yes.
A 21-inch screen Chromebook is way too much money for them.
No, but they make Chrome OS all-in-ones. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, with 21-inch screens.
Do you have any idea on the price, though?
A lot less than an Apple.
What is it?
Let me look. There, I think HP makes one. Okay. So let me back up a little bit and talk about Neverware. Neverware is a very good idea, but it's not supported by Google. You may know that the Chrome OS that's on Chromebooks is based on an open source project called Chromium OS. And so what Neverware did is they took Chromium OS and they buffed it up a little bit so that you can install it on some, and it's a very limited number because I've tried older PCs. A lot of schools might want to do this because they have old PCs just like that HP that they don't want to throw out, and they put Chrome OS on it, and actually it turns out Chrome OS is a very good choice for schools. It's also a good choice for people who just use Chrome, like your parents.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's secure. You can't get into too much trouble with it. What we've found, what we've learned in the world is that, unfortunately, general purpose operating systems are by their very nature more complex, more prone to security flaws. And in most cases, people don't really need them. If you're just doing email and surfing, you don't need it.
That's all they do.
Yeah. So a number of companies make Chrome OS all-in-ones. Asus does, and I think that the price is around $500. I'll have to look.
Okay.
They have it. There's a name for these Chrome OS devices. And by the way, because it's CES time, there probably will be more of these announced.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. This is Chrome OS is taking over. So there's Chrome OS all-in-ones, but there's also another thing you might look at called Chrome boxes, which are...
I was just going to ask you about
that. Yeah. So those are not... They don't come with a monitor, keyboard, and mouse. But if you have, and you do have at least a keyboard and mouse from the HP, if you can use that HP monitor, then you just plug it into that. Now, most all-in-ones don't have the ability to drive them from another computer, but some do.
Like the external connector. Yeah.
Some do. Okay. I'm looking here. I'm on Amazon, and unfortunately, the all-in-ones they're showing me are not ones I would recommend. They're a little overpriced. Let me look and see. Acer, A-C-E-R, makes a Chrome OS all-in-one.
Okay.
I found this. I wasn't talking to you, Siri. Go away.
Always happens.
So I don't know why I'm having trouble finding these. I know they make them, But yeah, I'm not seeing them.
Look at that.
Yeah, I don't know what the prices are going to be. Much less than Apple, even less than a Windows all-in-one. I wouldn't recommend Windows for anybody who's not a sophisticated user these days. It's just
I don't want to get them Windows at all.
Yeah. Somebody's telling me that Newegg, which is maybe my mistake, was looking on Amazon. Amazon doesn't like Google all that much. Let me see. Newegg, Newegg.com is also a very good vendor of computer gear. And let's see if they have a number of Chromebooks and so forth.
Oh, I like Newegg. I've ordered from them.
All right. You're familiar. Oh, you're a geek then.
Well.
You know about this stuff.
I'm a total geek.
Yeah. So if you're a geek, so that's maybe a better way to go, because you can get more than a 21-inch. You might be able to get a better monitor. You already have a keyboard and mouse. They are used to a keyboard and mouse, you know, so maybe just make it like that. 24-inch, according to John in Florida, on Newegg, $548 for an all-in-one.
Okay. All right. I'll check
That's about the price point, kind of mid-thousands.
Right, right.
Highly recommend that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're making exactly the right choice. I'm glad you called, Christy.
Thank you so much for your help, Leo.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
We did. We used to be big in Tom's River on Tech TV. I know that because Patrick and Norton and I did an appearance in Tom's River, and the line was around the block. Chrome OS is fantastic. I love Chrome OS. People mocked it. I mocked it when it first came out because Google said, no, look, here's a computer, but all you can do is run Chrome, the Chrome browser. That's it. I thought, well, why would you buy all that hardware just to run the browser? But a couple of things happened. One, Chrome itself got more capable, and the Chrome extensions give it the capability of doing a lot of things desktop computers users want to do. Two, security. The security story on Chrome OS is great. If the operating system is modified in any way, it'll stop. It'll say, no, this was modified, and you can do something called a power wash. It gets it right back to the original condition. Three, they've added the ability to run Android apps. Now, I'm not sure I'd recommend that, and a lot of Android apps don't work well on Chrome OS, but it gives you a broader base of things you can do. And the price is right. So secure, inexpensive, powerful, this seems like a good buy for a lot of people. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Johnny Jet!
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, look, you're all tropicaled out.
I am.
Are you in Hawaii?
You tell me.
I can't see anything. It looks like it's rained in. Oh, there's the ocean. Wow. Are you in Bali? Where are you? Right on the ocean.
I'm in Maui.
Maui. Wowie. We're going to go to Kauai in April. I'm very excited.
Awesome. Yeah. You know where you're staying?
Lisa finally told me, but I can't remember the name of it. It's a resort. I'll find it.
We were there several months ago.
I can't wait.
We stayed at the Hyatt.
I can't wait. We're going to Kauai in a few weeks. You are? Alex Gumpel's going in a couple of weeks.
To Kauai or
He's
Maui?
He's got an Airbnb to Kauai. Airbnb in Princeville. We are staying at the Kaloa Landing Resort at Poipu.
Oh, you know, I think my buddy Chris stays there. I'll have to ask him.
Lisa has a condo-like setting. I don't know.
Yes.
What. Yeah.
He loved it. Poipu's up high. It's a good little hike from airport.
It's a little drier.
Yes.
It's in the sunny south shore of Kauai, next door to some of the best shopping and dining on the island, and a short stroll from the world-famous Poipu Beach, situated on 21 acres of lush tropical foliage.
Well, I'm supposed to be going to the golf tournament here, the Century Golf Tournament.
Oh, fun. Are you a golfer?
I've been so sick. No, but I've been so sick. We were in Honolulu for a week, and, I must have picked something up there.
So Anthony says, do the first 3 miles of the Nepali hike. All right, I will. I will, Anthony. All right. He's been everywhere, man. He's Johnny Jet. And he's coming to us now from a beautiful over-the-ocean view in Maui. Are you in Wailea? Where are you, John?
No, I'm on I'm actually Lahaina and then the Pili and the Pili Kai Resort.
Ooh, just I like Lahaina. Out. That's the cute little town there.
And, I mean, the views are amazing.
Beautiful. We're right,
yeah. I go to bed every. I've been going to bed every night with this, with the doors wide open, and just listening to the ocean. Oh. I mean, I haven't slept better.
I know. I love that. I love that sound.
It's the best.
How wonderful!
I mean, it really is.
And this, but, he does this for a living, folks.
I'm actually my wife's plus one. She's out right now doing Pinterest work for Maui Tourism.
Oh, we should mention that Natalie, your wife, is a Pinterest influencer.
Pinfluencer.
A pinfluencer, if you will.
Yeah, her handle's Natalie Discala, same on Instagram.
D-I-S-C-A-L-A.
You and got it. So I'm
is
watching
it Natalie
Jack.
With an I or an I-E at the end?
With an I.
Just the I.
I no, no, Natalie's I-E.
I-E. N-A-
yeah, for Natalie.
He's confused. That's your wife. We're talking about your wife, Natalie. N-A-T-A-L-I-E-D-I-S-C-A-L-A.
You got it.
On Pinterest.
And Instagram.
And Instagram.
And I'm watching my boy. So if you see me just dart, that means he just took off. But I have PBS on right now. I keep him quiet. He's watching Nature Cat.
Oh, so, nice.
So, yeah. Nice.
So tell me, as always, Johnny joins us each week to help us travel better with technology. Tell me some ways that you're traveling better these days.
All right. Well, I got a couple. So LAX has a new website for traffic alerts, which is pretty cool. And I mean, I know you have a lot of readers or viewers.
We call them listeners in the radio business. Yes.
That's right. From LA. So there, actually, I'll put it in the chat room, but it's kind of a long URL. It's online.la.a.org and then LAX map alerts. I'll put it in the chat room and I'll tweet it out.
Okay.
But what I love about it, first of all, There's a secret to saving at least 15 minutes of your life going into LAX every time.
What's that?
And that's using arrivals. If you're going to fly somewhere, ask to be dropped off at arrivals. Unfortunately, Uber and Lyft cannot. They get fined $1,000, and that's why.
Whoa.
That's why the departures level is so crazy because there's so many Uber and Lyfts up there.
Even if you're arriving, you don't. Oh, I guess departures. You can't be arriving.
Even if you're arriving, they pick you up
at departures.
Departures level.
Okay.
So you cannot get them to drop you off at arrival. So you need to either take a private car. I use Blacklane, by the way, or a taxi.
Okay.
Or have a friend or a family do it. But it will save you 15 minutes. But this new website, you know, has different overlays, which are pretty cool. So you can see the closures, you can see the parking situation.
You can also put a Waze overlay on top of it, which
exactly.
is kind of cool. You could turn I'm going to turn construction on. I'm going to turn emergency vehicles on. I'm going to turn labels on. I'm going to turn Waze on, and you could see. Oh, look, it's green except for this area here. What is that? Oh, that's departures. Stay away.
At the top, there's also a thing for directions. So you can pop put in wherever you're coming from. So it'll tell you. But again, it will save you 15 minutes almost always by getting dropped off at arrivals.
Wow.
Because just the congestion once you get into the terminals is insane. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll have someone pick me up at arrivals on Terminal 7. Even if I arrive, you know, American Airlines Terminal 4, I'll just walk. And that way they can do a little shortcut. I'm an LAX expert.
You know, I think all mass transit is now wired, right? You can tell, you know, the buses, they know where they are. They know where we know what the traffic is everywhere. This what LAX is doing, every airport should do, every city should do. You should be able to go onto your phone at any time and say, what's the traffic like? What's the situation? How many buses? When's the next bus? All of that, because it's all wired. The problem is, and it really bugs me, a lot of jurisdictions, cities, airports, whatever, want to make money on it. Even though it's public information with public sensors, they don't let other companies use it. They don't have an API. They want to sell an app or have an app that they do. You have to go to their website. That means it's all spread out, and it's not useful.
Yeah, that
drives
that's
me
ridiculous.
Nuts. Yeah.
Well, LAX, you know, they're undergoing a, you know, multi-billion dollar.
Good for them for publishing this. I mean, this is good.
Yes, yeah. I agree. That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah.
So now my other website, which is more fun, it's called Swimply. It's also an app.
Swimply?
Swimply.
Swimply?
S-W-I-M-P-L-Y.
Swimply. It's Swimply amazing.
So what it does, it's actually a marketplace for pool sharing.
Oh.
Yeah, pool sharing. So, you know, growing up, we did not have a pool, and now I can understand why, because it's, you know, it's a huge liability when you have a little one.
Yeah.
But our neighbors did, and I would just, you know, my favorite thing in the world was jumping in pools. So instead of pool hopping, you can actually now rent one or for an hour or however long you want.
I'm searching for pools in Beverly Hills.
So they don't have it all over. They have them in 13 states, USA.
You can just go over to somebody's pool. Will they be home?
Yeah, so they've rented out. So you know what? You know, a lot of people don't even use their pools, and so to keep up with maintenance, they charge. And you know, on the site, I've seen them pools go from $30 an hour to $200 an hour.
Spanish colonial garden style with beautiful plants, trees, a lion fountain, bonfire pit, patio seating, and sunbathing area, large cedar gazebo, and lighting, cool hosts, smoking and drinking outside. Okay, 420 friendly, whatever that means. $50 an hour. That's not bad.
420 friendly?
Yeah, that's what they said.
You know,
no, I don't know what that means, and I don't want to know. So thank you.
420 is a time when people smoke.
I know what it is. What do you think? I'm an idiot?
You said you didn't know.
I said for the purposes of this broadcast.
Okay. Well, listen.
It is. It's California. The state we are in is 420 friendly. I don't know if it's Hawaii 420 friendly.
It's 420 friendly here because I almost got high last night from our neighbors.
But not every state in the union is 420 friendly. So I don't.
And gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping it on the low down, on the QT.
I just learned about 420 recently.
I know. So I can tell.
I don't smoke. So
kids, be cool. Stay in school. Okay. So this is Swimmingly. I love the name. Or Swimply. Swimply.
Swimply.
Be
so,
somewhere
I mean,
better.
What's heard about the internet is that there's something for everything. Really I'm talking
is.
Everything. Whoever would have thought about, you know, having pool sharing. So actually, if you own a pool and that, you know, you don't use it, make some money. You can rent it out.
Pool sharing. This is like that Maven or what is it? The car sharing thing? This is like that.
Turo?
Yeah.
Turo
is one. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, there's something, obviously, now you can do anything okay. on the internet.
All right.
You find it. And travel, and it's great for travelers because, hey, if you're renting an apartment or Airbnb and they don't have a pool, you know, try and rent a pool yourself
Very
somewhere
cool.
else.
Earn up to $50 for everyone you invite. Share Swimply with your friends. Refer and earn. This is something obviously pretty new. Some of these are more expensive.
I think it's an Australian company because it's in the U.S. and Australia, and I think it's in Cyprus because I just quickly looked again, and it says Larnaca, and I'm
Here's
like Larnaca.
One in Saskatoon. It's probably a little chilly right now in Saskatoon, so going to a pool in Saskatoon right now, maybe not the best idea, but I think you, Johnny, and Jack should put on your Hawaiian swim trunks and run down and enjoy the beautiful weather. Thank you, Johnny.
We're going down.
JohnnyJet.com. That's his website. Instagram, Johnny Jet. He's on Twitter as Johnny Jet and has lots of great stuff on the website. Johnny, enjoy Maui. You're going to a golf tournament. Have fun.
No, I was going to go. I've been sick.
You
so
bailed.
I don't want to get anyone sick. So
sure.
I'm not going.
Thank you, Johnny. We'll talk again next week. Leo Laporte. The tech guy. He's 420 friendly.
I was shocked to hear that. So, I mean, you picked a good one.
Look at that. Oh, man. I am so jealous. Look at that. He's out on the balcony.
So that's Lanai.
Oh.
And that's Molokai.
I want to go to Lanai sometime. I hear that's pretty nice. Isn't that the one? Which is the one Larry Ellison owns?
Lanai.
Yeah.
And I'm going there in a few hours.
That's where Bill Gates got married.
He did, actually, on the hole 13 at their golf course. So there's two Four Seasons on Lanai, now both owned by Larry Ellison, and there's an inn. I mean, Lanai is the Four Seasons Lanai at Manali Bay is the nicest hotel, in my opinion, in
That's
Hawaii.
What you told me, and that's why I wanted to go there. I was going to take
But it's also
Lisa there.
Probably the most expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure it's thousands a night, but Anthony says Molokai way better.
Molokai is, I've never been, but it's the most native and.
See, I like the traditional Polynesian experience. You know,
you gotta go to Molokai is it.
But I'm also worried because I'm a Haole and I don't think they like Haoles. So
now, if you respect the culture, I think
I do. I hugely respect the culture.
I think they would.
You know what my plan was. Because we were thinking, still thinking about maybe retiring in Hawaii. My plan was I would start a internet radio station, but of Polynesian culture exclusively. Like there'd be no white guys on it. It'd all be Polynesian music, Polynesian culture. It'd be cool.
I'd like to hear that.
And then they would like me as a result because I did that.
But you're the only white guy on it.
I wouldn't be on it. I'd just be sitting back there.
I see.
I'd be the man.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm 420 friendly.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
wouldn't that be cool to do that? I would like to do that. Hey. Anthony, you'd have to show me around. You're not going to be in Chicago forever, Anthony. Poor Anthony. He went back. He's lived in Maui. Great photographer, nature photographer. And he's taking care of his mom in Chicago. So he's stuck in the Chicago winter right now.
Well,
after years in Hawaii.
I feel for him. I mean, it's 80 degrees right now. There's people snorkeling right outside my
window. See, this is why I want to retire there. I don't want to retire where it's cold.
I don't blame you. It's January. What's today? January 5th or 6th?
Yeah. It's crazy. Oh. This is the best time to go to Hawaii right now.
It is.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day, John. I hope you feel better. You have a cold?
No, I had full-on norovirus or something.
Oh, no, that's the worst.
Yeah, I was like Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
Oh, that's so awful. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh. So, anyway, I'm feeling better.
You're getting better. All right. Take care.
All right, you
see
too.
You, John.
Have a great week.
Happy New Year.
You, bye-bye.
Bye. 420 friendly. Tried to stop him. I tried to stop him. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 80. Sorry, but I didn't mean to interfere with the boss, but I got to because we got to take some more calls. Larry in San Bernardino. Hello, Larry. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah. I can hear you. What's up?
My apologies. I'm an assistant caretaker at a ghost town. I had people just roll in. I was actually inside.
Do you want me to put you on hold and we can talk to you in a bit or what?
No, sir. Actually, if you can hear me, that'll be fine. My question is that I have a.
Well, wait a minute. No, you got to tell me about being an assistant caretaker at a ghost town before you can ask your question. What is that all about?
it just kind of fell in my lap. I'm actually heading down to Los Angeles right now. The ghost town is right outside of Death Valley. It's in the middle of nowhere.
What's it called?
Cerro Gordo.
Cerro Gordo. And is it a ghost town that you can visit?
Yes, sir. It's actually right outside of, what is it, Lone Pine, California.
Oh, somebody just bought it in July for $1.4 million.
Yes, sir, and I actually caretake for those individuals.
So somebody owns the ghost town?
Yes, sir, it's private property.
Wow. And are they going to, what are they going to do? Are they going to turn it into a resort?
Oh, yes, that is actually the plan. There's a lot of work that needs to be done as it's way out in the middle of nowhere. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you're keeping an eye on things, making sure the bad guys, like no motorcycle gang, takes over.
Yeah, that's actually the point, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would. I mean, look at this. This looks so cool. They still got the old mining equipment? Wow.
Everything is still on site. It's just, it's a little cold outside, and I actually just had some people roll into town while I was waiting on the call. So.
Yeah, and nobody's supposed to roll in.
Well, they are technically, a lot of the people don't know that you can call ahead of time.
Yeah, it's just
on site.
So. Yeah, cool. Well, if you need to take care of the business, go ahead. But otherwise, what can I do for you?
Well, the question I have is obviously I'm way outside of the bounds of the city limit, so I try and keep myself.
There's no internet out there in Cerro Gordo, is there?
No, yes, we do, actually.
What?
Satellite.
Oh, yeah, of course. Satellites everywhere.
So the thing is that my computer is 15 years old, and I built it out of high school, and it's a the motherboard is a P5QSE.
Oh, wow, a Pentium 5, ladies and gentlemen. You know, congratulations. I think, Larry, you just won the award for the oldest computer. This, your computer is as old as this show is.
And it still works.
It still works. What do you run on it?
Linux.
Ah, see, smart man. Otherwise, you'd have to be running Windows 95 on it or something.
It actually has Windows 10, but I only use that for, you know.
How does it run? Does it run okay on a Pentium 5?
Yeah, it's 6 gigs of RAM.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
1 gig of video. So
that's a decent. It's a good. RAM is actually the one thing that really can stop these older computers from running modern operating systems, because typically they had 2 gigs of RAM, maybe 4. You've obviously upgraded it over the times. That processor's not the fastest ever, but it's probably okay. So what can I do to help you?
Well, the thing that I'm having is that I'm having power-up issues. I turn the computer on, and all the lights light up, all the fans turn on, but there is no video. And it's been doing this for several years now, and I've actually swapped out the power supplies.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if it's maybe the motherboard.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the first thing you look at is the power supply, but you've put a new one in. So it seems likely to me that there's something deeper going on. I mean, one thing you could try, so you have an external video card in there?
Yes, and it's a VGA, I'm almost positive. I haven't sampled, so.
It's possible that there's something going on with that, but I think it's more likely that it's... Are there any other expansion cards in there?
No, I'm not. Let me actually look. I think the only thing that I have in there is a video card. But one thing that I really wanted to stress was that as it's been going on for the last few years, what I've noticed is that when I pull out the CMOS battery for a little while, sometimes it'll power up with the video. Sometimes it won't.
Okay.
And that's the reason why curious what your thoughts are.
Ah, that's interesting. That's a good bit of data. You've replaced the CMOS battery, have you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it has a fresh battery. The battery backs up something called the ESCD, the Enhanced System Configuration data, in those older computers. That was a part of non-volatile CMOS that stored configuration information. And it could be that if that gets corrupted or damaged, that could be causing a problem as well. So having, you know, it's preserving date and time, right, in between boots?
Now, that's the thing is, on Linux, it's a dual boot system. On Linux operating system, the time is always correct, even when I turn it off and on.
Yeah.
With the Windows system, the timing's always off. I have to always go in and redo the timing, even though it's automatic.
Revert to 1970 or 1904, I guess it is, on DOS. What does it revert to?
It's actually only like five or
it's no, just no, a little bit off.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's preserving it. It's just not keeping track of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. It's interesting that the Linux is doing a better job keeping track of time. I'm not sure why that is. So
yeah, I have to
say it does sound like, I mean, remember that computer year, dog years, what do they say? Dog years, every dog, 1 year of a dog's life is about 7 times that of a human life, right? So a dog years are 7. So a dog that's 5 years old is 35 in human terms. I think computer years are more like 15. So that means your computer is 155 years old.
That's
more than that. It's pretty old. So it wouldn't be surprising. Now, did you ever, you didn't overclock that chip or change the voltage or anything like that, did you?
No.
Okay. So you were just running the motherboard with stock as is with the as is chip.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of it. It's interesting. It seems to me there's something going on with CMOS. Since you popped the battery, which resets it, and then put it in, and it worked for a little while.
Yeah, and the whole thing is that while I've been on hold with you, I had the issue happen to me earlier, and now the computer's on, and I don't know. Obviously, it's not the power supply because all the fans are turning
on. It's all working. Yeah.
So I have no idea.
I don't either. I don't have any great ideas. But tell you what, this is a Chautauqua, a user group of the airwaves. And I guarantee you there are people listening. Some of them are laughing, Larry. But you live in a ghost town. You should have an old computer. But some of them are going, I know what's wrong. So let's give people a chance to call in 8888-ASK-LEO or mention it in the chat room or even go to our website, techguylabs.com. You can leave comments there. If you've got an idea what's going on with Larry's computer, that's an interesting... It may also be that just opening it up to put in the CMOS battery, maybe there's loose cables. Something happened when you opened it up and it worked and then it got loose again. So I would maybe open it up, make sure all the cables are seated. It could be corrosion. At that age, you might want to look at the contacts on the memory. Make sure that those aren't corroded. You can actually get contact cleaner. I wouldn't use alcohol or anything. Get contact cleaner and maybe clean the contacts on the video card and the memory cards. That can happen over time. I don't know what else, but those are a few things to look at. Maybe somebody else will call in with a suggestion. It's great to talk to you, Larry. Watch out for the ghosts. He's living in a ghost town. Isn't that wild? Just wild. Cerro Gordo, an Old West town. It sold for $1.4 million last summer. A group of investors. And I guess they're going to turn it into a resort. It's pretty cool looking. What an interesting job. And to have your old computer from 50. The computer is literally the same age as the radio show. That just gives you some idea. 8888-ASK-LEO is the website. That's the phone number. The website is techguylabs.com. You can, if you think you might have some suggestions for Larry, you can. It's no charge. There's no sign up. You can just go to the website. Actually, we do ask if you're going to leave a comment to log in with your Twitter or Google or Facebook account, just so that eliminates spammers. We don't do anything with that information. TechGuyLabs.com. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. More calls right after this. Yeah, you could use a pencil eraser. Could use that. I worry though, people do that, their little bits of pencil eraser will get in the gunk into the works. I think the best thing, get a little context cleaner, and you can get that cheap and get it in electrical stores and stuff like that. And I honestly think that's probably what's wrong. Somebody said capacitors, and yeah, it's something that old, maybe capacitors drying out, that could do it too. Actually, that might really be the reason, capacitors on the motherboard. But that's not that's not something. I agree, Lawn Dog. I think that the two culprits are probably capacitors, which dry out, and those connections. And the fact that when he opened it up, it worked for a while tells me, you know, that that's probably a bad connection on either the RAM or on the video card. Those are the only two things inserted. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here. I am the Tech Guy. Celebrating our 15th anniversary as the Tech Guy Show, started in January 2004. And man, things have changed over 15 years. I hope I'm here 15 years from now. And God and the network willing, I will be. If the creeks don't rise, I will be. And I will be, it'll be really interesting, won't it, to think back 15 years from now. What do you think? What do you think the world will look like? Will we have, for instance, will we have self-driving vehicles by then? Everybody seems to agree we will. But, you know, it's hard to predict this stuff. I was looking back at Ray Kurzweil's predictions for 2019. Now, Ray is a brilliant guy, taught at MIT. He was a king of artificial intelligence there. He wrote a number of books about what he called the singularity, that day when computers are indistinguishable from humans. Not as smart as necessarily just they. You can't tell if you're talking to a human or a machine, and it's doing all the things a human does. He called that the singularity. He's written a number of books, The Age of Intelligent Machines, and The Singularity is Near and things. And, of course, in his books, he's made predictions. And I was looking. You can see him on Wikipedia, actually. I was looking at his predictions for 2019. And so it's very hard, frankly, very hard to predict. I wouldn't want to get in the business of predicting. But he predicted that by this year, by now, the computational capacity of a computer that you spend $4,000 on, and he wrote this 20 years ago, that you spend $4,000 on would be about equal to the computational capability of the human brain. Nope, didn't happen. Maybe a few years, I don't know. He said the sum computational powers of all computers in the world would be comparable to the total brain power of the human race. Nope. He did get some of it right, though. Computers are embedded everywhere. Yep. People will experience 3D virtual reality through glasses. Yes. Contact lenses. No. Well, you kind of got this part wrong. Images beam directly into our retinals. We don't have that yet, but it exists in the labs. It might come to the market someday. What about self-driving cars? He thought by now that all automobiles would be driven by computers. Most. He said by now, humans would be prohibited from driving on the highways unassisted. Oh, if only that were true. You know, last year, actually the last time we had statistics, which was 2 years ago, worldwide, 1.25 million people died in auto accidents. Tens of thousands in the United States, but 1.25 million worldwide. And I think if we had self-driving vehicles, that number would be drastically smaller, right? But that's not happened. He said, furthermore, by 2019, when humans take over the wheel, the onboard computer system constantly monitors their actions and takes control whenever the human drives recklessly. Now, I don't think that's a bad idea. But I think there's a lot of people who, if the car took over, if you were driving poorly, would be pretty darned upset. He said by now humans would begin to have deep relationships with automated personalities. Like that movie Her, right? Yeah. He said, which holds some advantages, the computer personalities, over human partners. Yes. They don't break up with you. The depth of some computer personalities will convince people they should be accorded more rights. No. No, mostly he got it wrong. And you know what? I don't blame him at all because it's a very hard thing to do. That was a 20-year ahead prediction. 15 years from now, I don't know. Will we have self-driving cars? Maybe. Artificial intelligence will be definitely more prevalent. Those voice assistants we have now, like Amazon's Echo, I think they'll be closer to human by then, but who knows? You know, it's unpredictable. There are an increasing number of technologists who are getting a little bit pessimistic about the future. There are some who think we're entering a digital dark age. I think the best reason to stick around, for me anyway, is I can't wait to find out what happens. So here's to 15 years, and here's to 15 more. Can't promise anything more after that. 30 years of the tech guy, that's more than enough for anybody. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's my phone number if you want to talk. That is one of the advantages I bring. I have a lot of context. I've been around. I've seen it all happen. I know how hard it is, for instance, to predict the future. And how foolish it is. You notice, I kind of stay away from that. I'm not really good at that. Maybe you'd like to. Give me a ring. 8888-ASK-LEO. Let's go to Scott. He's in Southern California. Hi, Scott. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo.
How are you?
Yeah.
You've been around the block a few times, right?
No doubt. No doubt. I heard you and Scott talking about CES and just bringing back some memories. I used to drive taxi in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
And we would look forward, yeah, for CES.
Oh, man, it was a nightmare. Comdex and CES, what a nightmare. The taxi lines would be hours to get from the airport from McCarran to your hotel.
We thrived on that, though.
Oh, I bet.
Times would move quick, and man, oh, man, it was a good time. You know, unlike, you know, NAB would come into town, and they, you know, they go to show, and they go back to their hotel, and they don't do much.
They're boring. That's the National Association of Broadcasters, mostly radio engineers at that conference. So no, you're saying the geeks that would go to Comdex, the old Computer Dealers Expo, which ended, I don't know, about 10 years ago, and then CES, which has been going on for many decades, you say those geeks are more fun?
Oh, they'd go out. Yeah, they'd be out partying. In fact, I picked up, I don't think they were exactly, they were probably marketing people from XM Radio.
Oh, they know how to party.
Yeah, no doubt. I picked them up at the MGM, and that was back when you had separate XM and Sirius.
Yeah.
And our agenda was to, I picked them up, three of them. Our agenda was to go around, you know, Sirius had the inflatable dogs.
Yeah.
The old dog.
Yeah, that was their logo, the dog, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not XM, but Sirius. Well, yeah. So the XM guys, their agenda was to go out and deflate.
Deflate the dog.
We had like four or five stops. You know, one at the Hard Rock, one at the entrance to the convention center.
Competition is a good thing, I think. I think that's I think friendly competition. That's not bad.
Yep.
How you must have stories after story after story. You don't drive a cab anymore?
No, I'm in a big truck now. I'm driving truck.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know what the future is for cabs between Uber and self-driving vehicles.
Oh, they're hurting.
I bet.
They're hurting.
I bet. And, you know, the truth is, in the long run, I think, you know, there's 1.5 million folks in the United States who make their living driving either trucks or cabs, driving professionally. And right. I don't, you know, self-driving vehicles has to be a little scary for you guys.
Oh, definitely. The new Tesla truck, man, they've got all kinds of on them.
Wouldn't you like to have a Tesla Semi, though? I mean, that's...
Oh, no doubt.
That's pretty sweet.
That would be, yeah.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I got to run, but I bet you're kind of glad you're not at CES this year.
Well, I'd like you to go again. That remember when you used to broadcast?
I loved doing that. I missed doing it. It was very expensive.
Man, that was,
we would set up a big booth there in the South Hall. It was so much fun. Maybe, you know, maybe I could talk my financial person into doing that again next year. It would be a lot of fun. It's just so expensive. We spent probably $150,000 to do it. When I did it with Tech TV, we used to go we'd have a big booth, cameras, the whole works, a truck. We did that at Comdex and then at CES a couple of years. That cost over $1 million for 5 days of broadcasting. That's expensive. It gives me chills just thinking about it. See, one of the reasons I like radio and podcasting, it's cheap. It's easy. You just bring a microphone and a mixer. You'd be anywhere. Maybe we'll do the radio. I'll tell you what. We'll do the radio show from CES next year. Wouldn't that be fun? That's what we did 15 years ago. That's how it started. Should have done it this year. Maybe next year. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, you want to talk high tech, I want to talk high tech with you. Vino, going back to Las Vegas. Hello, Vino. You getting ready for CES?
Not really.
I bet the locals don't look forward to those big conferences at all.
No, I did attend not the first one, probably in 2003 or something.
Yeah.
I've been there since.
You're not missing anything. I don't think you're missing anything, to be honest with you. That's why I don't go either. What can I do for you, my friend?
Happy New Year to you,
Happy
first.
New Year, Vino. Thank you.
Second, I had called you a couple of months back because I was having the problem of my, once I got the YouTube TV, my TV would turn on automatically in the middle of the night.
I do remember that. Did you ever fix that?
I got to the point where you told me to turn on my TV on the TV remote, go to menu, and after that, I didn't remember.
you just gave up.
Yeah, because I couldn't figure out what to do.
So what'd you do? Did you get rid of the TV? I mean, it can't still be waking you up, I hope.
No, what I did was, what I do is every night, I turn on the TV and also turn on the switch of the wire.
So it's powered down, in other words.
Yeah.
So it can't turn on because it doesn't have any juice.
Exactly.
Smart.
But in any case, at the age of 82, I'll be 82 next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You don't sound a day over 60.
Thank you. So I thought I'll call you when I have another problem.
Good.
And that was, I got another Roku for my other TV in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And I finally installed it today, and I thought I might have a problem. But luckily, fiddling around with it, I finally got everything to work.
Good.
Except when they said, do you want to install these free apps? And I clicked on all of them, and now I have YouTube and all the other apps ten times of
my- You don't want any of them now. You wish you didn't. Yeah, you can delete those apps with the Roku remote. As I remember, you got to be in the menu. You got to be over the app. I think if you press the option, the asterisk button, the options button, it'll give you a menu. And one of the items is to delete.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for that.
Yeah, the Roku is great. So, did you get a TV with Roku built in?
No. This is an old TV. This is a Vizio TV, 14 TV.
Okay.
I got at Costco about four years.
Okay.
Back.
Roku, though, adds a whole bunch of stuff, doesn't it? In fact, let me recommend you go to the web, and if you Google Roku channels or hidden Roku channels, you can see what's in that channel store, and you've seen, and it's the obvious stuff, but there are many, many more that aren't widely publicized, and you can find them, and you'll be amazed. You can get TV channels from all around the world. There's all sorts of stuff you can get, many of them free. So,
really?
Yeah. So Roku is worth spending a little time kind of getting to know a little bit better. There's a lot of stuff in there that can...
I'm very happy with Roku and my YouTube TV. You know, it's cost me about one third of what DirecTV was charging.
I love YouTube TV. I think that's, there's about five of these. There's Sling TV, PlayStation has something called the View. There's a number of these, what they're called over the top television. They use the internet to bring you local TV channels, and it's not in every market. But I gather that in Vegas you can get the local TV channels.
Not on YouTube.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, but I have these HD antennas, which you stick to the window.
Yeah.
So that works. Anyway.
That's actually better. If you can get that, you're going to have higher quality if you can get over the air, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Now, the question I had was, I think I told you, not that you remember, that I've got a Sony TV and a Sony audio video receiver.
Oh, I remember this one, yeah.
Okay, and I have a Bose speaker system from when I bought it in 2000, okay?
Yes, yep.
It still works very good.
Good.
The problem I am having is I have been using the TV speakers, okay, since I bought this TV.
Okay.
But the moment I connect it to the audio video receiver, the sound goes off.
And how do you connect it? Are you connecting it from the headphone jack?
No. What I did, I checked because for some reason the Sony TV has only one HDMI connector and three MHL connectors, okay?
Okay.
So I was having the Roku on the HDMI connector, but I found out that I can put the Roku on the MHL connector and still get you through TV.
Yeah, MHL is HDMI plus power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point of the MHL connector, is that you can take a Roku stick, for instance, and it's going to get power from the TV. And then that way you can do more with it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Because the way I read it was, it was just a, what is this, mobile high definition link or something.
Yeah.
That's what MHL.
It's still HDMI, but it's just HDMI plus.
See, I did not know.
Yeah. Yeah, so if so, anyway, you can use those, but I have to run, unfortunately. But hang on, we'll talk. I'll talk off the air with you. The trick on the audio, it sounds like, is the TV is sensing a connection. That's why I'm wondering how you're connecting it and saying, "Oh, good, he's going to be listening this way instead of through the TV speakers." But usually, you can fix that in the once again. Let's go to the menu in the audio settings. But I'll walk you through it in a second. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. Sorry, Vino, I had to take a break. You're still here. So,
no problem. Yeah.
So,
thank you.
What are you connecting? So, you're connecting your AV receiver to the TV via the HDMI port.
Correct.
Yes. And the problem is when you're losing sound when?
The moment I go to the TV remote and go to the menu for the settings.
Yeah.
And under sound, I have an option for TV speaker and outside speakers. The moment I go to the outside speakers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the sound.
It won't do both. It'll only do external or internal. So the sound goes off. And you're saying you want to hear the sound. You're choosing external and the sound goes off, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and that's because it thinks you've got something connected to the TV that's going to do the sound instead. It's giving you the choice between internal speakers, which is the lower quality. You want to use your... So you have a... You said you have an AV receiver and you have speakers attached to it?
Correct.
Yeah. So the trick is getting the audio... Because you're talking about watching Roku, so the audio from the Roku is going into the TV via the HDMI port. You want to get it out of the TV. Normally, and I don't know if your Sony is it may be too old to have this, you'll have one of the HDMI ports will be labeled ARC. And that stands for Audio Return Channel. And the reason you have that specifically is so that you can connect an audio receiver via that HDMI, that particular HDMI port, and the TV will send audio back down into the receiver. Mm-hmm. You may not have an ARC port on that Sony.
It's a 4-year-old TV.
You should. So you might, I don't, do you still have the manual?
No, you know, these days don't give you a manual.
So you might have to search online for, I just type the name, the brand of the TV, then model number, and then manual, and you'll be able to find it. So that's one way to get a PDF file of the manual. The other thing is, do you have any other outputs, audio, particularly outputs on the TV? You probably have a headphone jack. What you really are looking for is an optical audio out.
In fact... There is one optical thing.
Yeah. So for that, and most receivers have optical in. In fact, they're often labeled TV audio because this is so common. You'll have to buy a special cable that matches that. So you're going to have to figure out, because unfortunately, optical, there's a number of different connectors. Sometimes, most of the time, it's something called Toslink. And it looks like a little tiny kind of tunnel. It's rounded at the top and square on the bottom. Little tiny one. It's a little hatch. If you open it, you'll see there's light, red light coming out of it. That's the optical audio. And you connect it to that, and there's probably the same kind of connector on the other end on your receiver. Once you connect those two, you set the receiver to TV audio, and it'll all work.
I see.
So you'll need to get a cable that matches. First of all, check to make sure that you've got an audio optical in on your receiver. You probably do. Most AV receivers do. And then you'll need a cable on the AV receiver. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because what you're going to do is you're going to buy, and you can get this at Amazon or Monoprice at lots of places. You're going to buy a cable with the right termination at both ends. It's probably Toslink, Toslink at both ends. You're going to get a Toslink. Uh-huh. They're $10. Toslink cable that'll go from your TV's optical out into your AV receiver. Then, of course, the TV, you'll have to set it to external audio. And the receiver, you'll have to set it to that optical in. And that usually is TV audio.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I've understood that. And if I have my TV remote.
Vino, I got to run. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Vino, I asked Vino about his TV, and most TVs, and his included, have a variety of audio outputs on his TV. He wants to get the TV audio to go into his AV receiver. So I asked him, do you have any other audio outputs besides, you know, there's one way to do it is on a special kind of HDMI connector that'll be labeled ARC, which is the audio return channel. So many TVs have, you know, a variety of HDMI ports. And one of them will be labeled ARC. If you connect that one to your AV receiver, it's sending the video, the audio from the TV back to the receiver. And since his audio is sourced by either the Roku or his antenna, the audio is going into the TV. You've got to find a way to get it out of the TV into the AV receiver so that you can hear it. He says, as soon as I switch in my settings on the TV from internal speakers to external speakers, I can't hear anything. That's right, because the internal speakers already have the audio. They're built into the TV. But you've got to tell when you tell the TV, send it out, you've got to somehow connect something to that external output. That's either the HDMI ARC channel or, as in his case, he has an optical audio out. That's actually the best way to do it. He's got optical audio out of his TV. You need to get a special cable that matches that optical audio out port. Usually it's called Toslink. And connect that to your receiver. You'll need to get the right connector for your receiver too, usually also Toslink. Looks like a little, I don't know, highway tunnel. It's tiny, but it looks like a little, it's rounded at the top with little corners and then it's square at the bottom. It's hard to describe. You could Google TOS-LINK. You'll get a picture of it. If that's the kind of connector you have, then you get a Toslink optical cable. Plug it into both ends. Tell the TV to send the audio out the external port. It might even have as an option out the optical port, but usually that's not necessary. And then tell the receiver, I want to hear the audio that's coming into that optical port. Often that's labeled TV audio because that's such a common way of getting your TV audio out. Boy, is that complicated. Yeah, railroad tunnel. That's what it looks like. This is why there's a brisk business in AV setup people who come to your house and set it all up. There's a problem with that, though. I went over to a friend's house. She said, I can't hear anything on my TV. I said, well, how's it set up? She said, I don't know. The guys from Best Buy came and installed it all. I don't know how it's set up. And that's when you go, oh, what are they? And I don't, you know what? What are they? This is crazy, right? How many of you listeners that are geeks have 5, 6, 7 remote controls on your coffee table? And in order to watch, I just want to watch the game. You got to turn this on, set that to this to that. I once wrote a manual when we went on vacation for the house sitter. It was a 10-page instruction sheet on how to watch TV. There's got to be a better way. It's crazy. And honestly, if I have to move, and I've done this, And I just take all the cables out and I move. I have to relearn everything to get everything set back up again. Now, Dr. Mom says, oh, no, you need the Harmony Hub. Yeah, good luck with that. Then you can ask Amazon's Echo. Hey, Echo, watch the game. Hey, speaking of which, I got a bone to pick with the NFL. I am not happy, and I'm surprised this is even legal. And why isn't the FCC looking into this? Have you noticed during the NFL games, There'll be a short 10-second, they call them blipverts, little tiny short ad. It's obviously sponsored by Apple, although I don't think they ever say that, where the announcer says, want to know more about the game? And then says, hey, S-I-R-I. The guy says it on the TV. Hey, you know who, Apple's voice assistant. Who had the most, he asked some inane statistical question, you know, the most rushing yards for the NFL in history. And I guess that the premise of the ad is, oh, now you know how to ask Siri about that. But the upshot of the ad is my Siri HomePod wakes up, answers the question, and it goes on and on and on for a minute. And I'm sitting here watching the game shouting, hey, you know who, shut up. I'm watching here. I can't even believe that's legal. Remember when Burger King did that with the Google Assistant? And they actually, in order to do it, they modified the Wikipedia page, I think for Burger King, or maybe it was, Whopper. One of their sandwiches. And then they said on the ad, you know, hey, you know who, tell me about the Whopper. And then because they'd modified the Wikipedia page, and that's what Google used for the data to tell about the Whopper in the Google Assistant, basically they got the Google Assistant to do an ad. Got in trouble with everybody. Google immediately stopped that. Wikipedia reverted. Nevertheless, it was a very successful ad campaign. Drives me nuts. I don't know what, I mean, the first time I heard the NFL did it, I thought, oh, they're in trouble. I guess not. And Mikey in the chat room says, well, it's not their fault. Your Siri should be smart enough to only answer you. No. No. Line 3, Noah, Van Nuys, California. Hi, Noah. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Here we go. So a couple weeks ago, my girlfriend, she had, and I say that lightly, had a Galaxy S7.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, apparently she couldn't remember where she put it. It was actually on the back of a bumper of a car. It's okay. I found it. I was walking around the block, calling, finally heard it. I'm like, where is it? It was in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
So it was still working. I got it, picked it up, and unfortunately the screen is just gone.
Oh, dear.
But the upside to it is that the phone still works. So I was actually able to luckily take out the SIM card. I'm sorry, the SD micro card that all her photos were being put on.
Oh, good. So you saved that. Yeah. Good.
I was able to do that. The only thing that we're not able to get off of it is the contacts. And so here's what happened. So I checked to see whether or not it was actually going to, I guess, like the Google account and saving through there. No, it's all being put into the internal, like, hard drive on the phone itself.
Right.
So here's two questions. Question number one is, we want to try to remove that file, which I think is like a VCR file or something.
Yeah, so
like
it's VCF.
VCF.
Yep. So you can, if the phone is working well enough to hook up a USB connector to it.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
it is.
You can connect it to a machine, and you'll need either the Android file transfer app on a Mac. On a PC, right. Usually it can just see it, and you should be able to see the internal hard drive, and you're going to have to dig around because it's got funny folder names.
Yeah. Now, does this sound like this might be possible? So basically, I was doing some research, and this is where I got stuck. So it's saying it could be located like at data.
Yeah.
Like .com Android.
You just kind of, yeah, you're going to have to dig around. It's probably in the Android data folder.
Okay.
It might be marked as SD0, even though it's not an SD card. Android, it's not designed for you to be rooting around. If you've done it enough, you can usually find stuff.
Okay.
It's there. One thing you could do is just copy all of it.
Right.
And then at your leisure, in fact, I would do this, at your leisure on your hard drive, go through it and see if you can find it. You might even be able to search for it. We're going to, Dr. Mom's giving me a link we'll put in the show notes at techguylabs.com for recovering your Samsung Galaxy contacts. But as long as you can access the internal storage of the phone, it's all there and you'll be able to get it. Good job. And I presume that you bought your lovely girlfriend a new phone. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Did you? I had to turn off your sound so I could take a break there. But did you get her a new phone?
She got the iPhone 8.
And oh, good.
She's always had issues with the Android, and I get that, and it's fine. And Apple's are much easier. The iPhone's much easier to use. And, you know, I applaud her for that. That's great. I have a Note 9, a Note 8, which I love.
Very nice. Yeah, yeah.
But so now the next question is, and I'm sure there's a way to do it, so we're going to probably have to figure out how to convert those contacts that are Android to go to...
No, that's a standard. VCF is a standard file format.
So I could probably somehow transfer it directly.
You'll be able to import it directly. You might even be able to. VCF is a card format, a data card format that is standard. If it is VCF, you're golden.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
That worked?
Yep.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it. Enjoy the show. I've been listening to it for God knows how long.
Thank you. Thank you, Noah. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Have a good day.
All righty. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, Diggity!
Leo, Happy New Year, pal.
Happy New Year. I'll be with you in just a second. But first, it's time to tell people about Carbonite, the data protection platform for business. For so many years, we've been talking about Carbonite, you know, and using the word backup. And yeah, there's backup. Backup's involved, but data protection's more than just backup. You need a provider for server backup. You need endpoint protection. You need somebody to protect your critical systems. This is complicated. That's why so many companies now are looking for a single vendor that can do it all, and that's why they choose Carbonite. One vendor for all your data protection needs. They offer scalable, secure server backup solutions, flexible deployment models, flexible recovery options, things like high availability. That means, you know, in a business, your data is down, your data is inaccessible. That means revenue lost. You want to get back up and running fast. So they have real-time replication and cloud failover. So if a disaster strikes, you're back up and running in seconds. There's backup and recovery for physical drives, of course, but also virtual machines, cloud-based environments. And there's a lot of benefits to that, too, because you're never locked into any one cloud environment or one storage environment. You're much more flexible. Over 200 operating systems, applications, and platforms are supported. You've got end-to-end block-level encryption. It is the single-vendor solution for your workloads, your risk tolerance, your business objectives is Carbonite. So simplify your environment, eliminate gaps in your data protection, reduce costly redundancies. You need Carbonite, your secure, trusted provider, offering award-winning customer service 7 days a week. Learn more about Carbonite and their data protection platform for business. It's the best at Carbonite.com. C-A-R-B-O-N-I-T-E. Carbonite.com. And we thank Carbonite so much for their support
for the Tech Guy Podcast.
Okay, Dickie D, are you ready to do an afternoon giz fizz? A giz fizz, what do you call it?
Yeah, I am. I think we call it good old-fashioned regular giz fizz.
no PM involved.
No PM involved, right. Exactly.
Good. Well, I'll give it a plug on the show.
Oh, great, thank you. And what's great on Carbonite is previous version. I often
love the versioning, yes.
I often write a script, and I mean to save every time I write it as a different version, and I forget. Yep. And I go, wait a minute, the other thing had other jokes I needed.
Unsolicited, my friends.
Yes.
A testimonial.
Yes.
The Mad Magazine wouldn't be the same without Carbonite. There'd be jokes missing. So Dick is Mad Magazine's maddest writer. Uses all our sponsors, apparently.
the last two, anyway, that's for sure.
And he is also a gadget fanatic, a gizmo wizard, if you will. That's why we call him the Gizwiz.
Yeah. Well, you know, all week you've been doing the best of.
Yes.
And I know that there was no best of my spots. So I thought I'll just talk
the best
about
of the Gizwiz.
Three gadgets that I liked that you and I talked about over the year.
Perfect.
And the first one, Leo, fits in perfectly with what you were saying a few minutes ago, and that is the giant smash remote button. Okay, so this is an under $20 button.
I love this
whose
button.
Sole purpose in life is for you to be able to slam your fist down and instantly shut the volume on your TV in case the phone rings, someone asks you a question, or you know about a commercial coming up is going to trigger one of your electronic devices. It's very easy to set up. It takes about 10 seconds. You hold your remote up to it. On the back, you click learn. You push the mute button on your remote. You'll see two red lights flash. And now this guy knows the mute code to your TV.
Jammer B gave this to his sister, he says, and she loves it.
It's great.
The problem is the mute button on the remote is so tiny, and it's you can never find it.
Especially in the dark.
Or any time, yeah.
Yeah, any time, you're right. So this is like probably 500 times the size of the remote button. The second thing was from my spouse, Dennis, who said, if you do any wrap-up, please mention TurboPop.
Oh, I've got to get these, yeah.
You know, Leo, it's like... You know, you guys.
Is Dennis the cook?
Things.
He's the cook.
Yes. Yeah. I'm the eater. I mean, it's a mutual.
It's good.
It's a mutual thing.
You need one of each. Yeah. No.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So this is like instead of using a heat sink to dissipate the heat, these pots have fins on the bottom to attract the heat.
It turns out it works both ways.
It works both ways. And they were building this cookware for commercial restaurants. And then they started a consumer version, which does very well on Amazon. And my third thing
this is
you
called,
know
by
about,
the way, again, TurboPot.
TurboPot.
I'll give you a link at the end of this where you can find all this stuff. Go
oh,
ahead.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And the third thing is Watermelon Smash for the kids.
I love this one, too.
I know. I was just going to say kids, but, you know, we used it at the meetup. People love this. It looks like a small watermelon. You fill it with water. It has a little clicker on the bottom. You spin a little dial. The number of times that you have to hit it on your head is the number the arrow lands on when you spin it. And somebody is going to get wet.
Somebody.
At some point.
It's going to get
and
wet.
And it's very funny when it springs open.
Dick has links to all three of his best of gadgets for the year on his website, gizwiz.biz, GIZWIZ.BIZ.
Yes, the
what?
New game just started.
Oh, I was going to say, while you're at it, click the link that says, what the heck is it?
Yeah,
at
I
the
forgot.
End of the month, last you know, at the end of the year, you had a winner, and we started
we
a new game,
several.
Which looks like a clay pot of some kind. Like maybe you picked this up when you're in your last visit to Greece, but that's not what it is. Obviously, either that, or it's what's left after you blew up the balloon. I don't know what. I don't know what is that.
Oh, I'm going to tell you?
No. You're going to tell him and get a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine.
Exactly.
You'll do that at gizwiz.biz. But you do have to tell us what the last one was. What was
it?
Well,
it's a champagne bottle stopper.
Well, see, you were thinking ahead.
Yes, I was.
You knew.
However,
yeah.
Yes. A bunch of people did get it right.
And they won a Mad Magazine. Autographed by you. That's
yeah, exactly,
nice.
Exactly.
So people did recognize. I didn't recognize it from the picture. This more modern picture you've got, it makes it a little bit easier to tell what that is.
Well, I also shot it from the bottom because I'm really not a dope.
No, you made it hard to do. If I'd exactly. seen this, I would have known immediately what it
is. Not means. Hard. Fun.
Yeah.
We call that fun.
That's called fun, folks. Well, have some fun. Go and Dick is deliberately obfuscating what these gadgets are, I guess. No size, no scale, no nothing. You don't even know what the angle is. But if you can figure it out, you could win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. Better yet, if you come up with a crazy wrong answer, you got an even better chance of winning. That's Dick's
Perfect.
Website, gizwiz.biz. Don't forget his podcast, gizwiz.tv. And a little program note, Dick is going to stick around, first time in 3 years, and do the Giz Fizz, which is his live on-air phone show on our stream. So don't go anywhere where the stream will end with the Tech Guy show ends in a few minutes. Ends just for the day, not forever. I'll be back tomorrow, but don't panic.
Yeah, those rumors of me taking over Twitter just
I wish
started
would.
By your son.
It's, yes, Henry's wishing you would as well, yeah. But no, I'm really pleased. The Giz Fizz will return to its original time, 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, on most of these same Twit stations. So if you're watching the live stream at twit.tv/live, there'll be more Dick DiBartolo coming up. Thank you, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir.
I
Take
really
care,
appreciate bye. It. Happy New Year.
The same.
Yep.
To you and yours.
Well, I think we began this new year in a very good way. I thank you all for being here. I'll be back again. This isn't the last show, no. In fact, this is the first show of year 16 of The Tech Guy. So I think we're off to a very good start. Everything I talked about on the show today is available at our website. That's techguylabs.com. And that's free. There's no sign up. You can go there and get answers to all your questions. There's a very good search app. I want to thank our musical director, Damien. Big Pee Wee, we call him. He does such a good job each day. And, of course, Kim Schaffer for answering the phones. She grooms you for your appearance on national radio. But most of all, as we begin this new year, I want to thank you. There'd be no point in doing this show if you weren't listening. So thanks for listening. And I'll see you next time. This is Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, wishing you a great Geek Week. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.